Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Yud Ches. We left off on daf Yud Zayin and base 4 lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line, Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Katina. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Aliyah, and Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Adah Shalom, the Neshamish Shav and Aliyah. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So the Gemara is going to talk today first about 3 or 4 areas of halacha where pegima is a problem after the whole discussion about pegimos on the knife. So we're going to talk about other places where pegima matters. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the penalty on the shochet for not showing his knife to a chacham. What do we do with such a shochet? And we're going to tell a particular story about a shochet who did not show his knife to a chacham. Then right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about shchita using teeth or using fingernails. And then the Mishnah is going to discuss shechting with a sickle and what the status of the meat is, of the behemah is after one shechted with a sickle. Then the next Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to define the psul hagrama, which is where when you're doing the shechita, you go outside of the makom shechita. You start the shechita in the makom shechita, but then you go beyond where on the pipes you're allowed to cut the animal. So we're going to define exactly how far out, where exactly you have to veer in order to violate hagrama. The Gemara is going to tell the story of Rabbi Zeira eating from a questionable shechita when he came to Eretz Yisrael, and why it is that he ate from it, and what exactly he assumed that we paskin la halacha or we don't paskin la halacha, which traditions of previous generations we can rely on and which ones we cannot rely on. And then the Gemara is going to define at the very end of the daf where is the end of the makom shechita, meaning what is the uppermost part of the pipes of the animal where you're allowed to cut, that it's still considered to be part of the makom hashchita. So let us begin again. We are 4 lines from the end of the page on daf yud zayin and bez. Last word on the line. Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Katina, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Shalosh pegimos sayin. There are 3 dinim in the Torah that relate to a pegima. Pegimos atzim ba pesach. Karm pesach, you're not allowed to break a bone. But not only you're not allowed to break a bone, like breaking it in half, if you make a little pegima in the bone, that is a violation of an isra as well. The Rashash points out that the Rambam doesn't quote this halacha of pegimas etzem bepesach, and he says it could be because the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph said that v'nitachos soldin socheh teaches us that you're not allowed to cut the nischei ha'ola linisachim. You're not allowed to cut the butchered parts of the carbonola into further pieces. And the Gemara says that that's only if you're chotech legamri, but if it's still mechuber in any way, then there's no iser. So why should I be mechalek between neticha and shvira? Maybe the Rambam holds that by Shvira as well, a little pegima is not going to do the trick, is not going to be a problem. It's only if you entirely break it that it's going to be a problem. And that's why the Rambam doesn't paskin like this Gemara. He paskins like that Gemara. The Meiri writes that there is a machlokas about Shvira Setzim B'Pesach, that some say that the Shir Pegam is Chagiris Sipara, and just like by Shechita knife, and that's already a violation of Etzim Losish Brubo. But others say that no, only a Shvira Gemura. And he says, Gedolei HaMechabrim doesn't quote this din of Pegimas Etzem by a Karban Pesach. Gedolei HaMechabrim in the Meiri's Lashon is the Rambam. So he also notes that the Rambam doesn't quote this din. But okay, one of the dinim related to a Pegima is a pegima of a bone of the Karban Pesach. Second, pegimas ozen bebuchar. A male firstborn behema tahora is a kadosh, and you have to bring it as a karban, and the basar gets eaten by kohanim in Yerushalayim. But if it has a mum, then you give it to the kohen, and it becomes the mamun kohen, and it can be shechted and eaten wherever he wants to eat it. It just becomes regular chulin money of the kohen. So if there is a pegima in the ozen, in the ear of the bechar, that qualifies it as a balmum, and therefore no longer has the kedusha of a karban. Ozen is lavdafka, other evarim as well, if it had a mum, would also take away the status of a bechar. The Gemara, Rashi points out, the Gemara just dafka chooses the example of pegimas ozen, because in Maseches Becharos, when we go through the whole list of all the different mumen that would passel a bechar, the pegimas ozen is the first one. So we're just saying pegimas ozen v'chulei, that that would that is everything everything else on the list as well. Third din, pigimas mum bekachim. If one of the evarim of a behemas kachim is missing a piece, so it's a balas mum, and you're not allowed to bring it on the mizbech. So you need to be poded it for money, and then the behema becomes chulin. So even the mumim that are not shayich by a bechar, like a mumim that would only be shayich to a female animal, where you can't have a female bechar. Bechar, the kedush bechar is only for a male animal. We would say the same din of a pegima. So Rav Chista Amar af pegima sakin. Rav Chista said there's a fourth halach related to pegima. Our sugya, pegima sakin, is also a din that relates to pegima. The Tiferes Yaakov says it's not at all the same. All the other dinim of pegima is because there's a chisaron. It's because there's something missing from the item. And chaser is possible. So how much of a chaser? Even just a tiny drop, a tiny bit of the ear, a tiny bit of the bone of the Korban Pesach. Over here, it's not a din chaser. Haraya, we spoke yesterday about like a curved blade, that you had a pegima in the knife, so you curved it out, and therefore it was smooth, but it's very chaser in that way. And yet we said that that's going to be perfectly kosher. So it clearly has nothing to do with being chaser. So says the Tiferes Yaakov, from here you have a raya, that in order for a mum to be a problem in a behema, it doesn't need to be that it's chaser from the behema. It's just based on whether the tziporin would get caught in that crack or not. And if the tziporin would not be nichnas into that crack, it's as if there's no crack at all. And the same is by Shir Satsam of a Pesach, and that way Pegima Sakin of that where the whole Pegima is so small that that the Tziporin is not nichnas into the Pegima, so it's we assume it's not going to cause any problems. So you see that the other dinim maybe are similar to Pegima Sakin. The Idach and Rav Huna Bar Katina, how come he didn't mention Pegima Sakin? Meaning when you talk about a Pegima, that's what most people think of. You're not going to think of the other three dinim. So Bechulin Lo Kamari, because he says we're only talking about when we give the list of three dinim of Pegimos, we're talking about dinim related to kachim. So Karban Pesach and a Bechor and other kachim. So that's what we're talking about. Whereas the din of a pegima on a knife is true even when you shecht basar taiva, even when we do shechita nowadays. V'kulan pegimas and kedei pegimas hamizbeach. And all of them, the din of pegima is the same shear of a pegima that's going to be a problem on the mizbeach. That the mizbeach has to be with avanim shleimim. And if there's a pegima in any of the avanim, so that's going to be a problem with the mizbech. So Tosa says, they're all the same din of pegimas and mizbech. How come that didn't make the list? I mean, pegimas sakin, we said, doesn't make the list because it's chulin. Pegimas mizbech isn't chulin. How come that we didn't say there are four pegimas, including pegimas mizbech? So Tosa says, because it's a davar pasha, that's beferish in the pasuk. We're saying that there are shalosh pegimas that are not beferish in the pasuk, that it has a din of pegima. The Ritva says that everything that Reish Lakish mentions is in the hechsher habasar. So pegimas mizbech has nothing to do with the hechsher abasar, it's about the hechsher avoda, but it has nothing to do with whether the basar is going to be kosher or not, and therefore it doesn't make the list. V'kama pegima samizbeach, how much of a pegima would passel the mizbeach? Kedei shetachkor bat ziporen, enough that if you ran your fingernail along it, it would get caught in that pegima. So if it's large enough to catch your fingernail, that would be a pegimas mizbeach. Tosos Maseches Sukkah on Daf Mem Tes raises the question, why do we say that the chisaron and the avanim mizbech is that there's a pagam b'chagiras hatziporen, even if the stone is broken in a way that the makom of the shvira remains totally smooth and there's no pegima at all, it's still going to be possible because it's not an even shlema anymore. The pasuk says avanim shlemos tivnas mizbech Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara should have said chisaron avanim mizbech b'kdei chagiras tziporen. But if you have a cut a stone of the mizbech, so you don't even without a chagiras tziporen, it's going to be problematic. So the Aruch Haner suggests that really a pegima is not only when there's a chisaron, even if there's something that protrudes out of the stone, mitchilas priyaso, that's just the nature of the stone, that it has something, it has a slight protrusion, and enough that it would catch the fingernail, that would also passel the avnei mizbeach. Meaning a pegima over here, from the dinim of pegima, it's not only a problem if something broke, if something was cracked, if something, a pegima on the stones of the mizbeach, is if you use the wrong stone, you use the stone that was was naturally, that naturally had some sort of protrusion, and naturally would therefore cause a problem. The question that that the Rishonim raise is, why is it, if everyone agrees that the Shir Pegima is Shetach Korbat Tziporen, we learned yesterday that there are all sorts of different ways for checking for Pegimas on a knife. They would run water down the edge of the knife and see if it jumped. Why are you running water down the edge of a knife? That's not the Shir Pegima. The Shir Pegima that's going to be a problem is Shetach Korbat Tziporen. So a group of Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashba, say that the Amoraim that require Bedika in the sun, with the water, all those, they disagree with Rav Chisda, and they hold that Shir Pegima Sakin is even less than Shetach Batziporin, and that's why they require a more intense Bedika. However, the Ran writes that could be that the Amoraim do not argue, and they all are Moda, that Pegima less than Chagiris Tziporin will not passel the knife. The fact that they used the sun or the water was L'chum Rabbi Alma, that they thought that that was an even better Bedika, and if you see, if it passes that test, then you know for sure you're good with Chagiris Tziporin. Chagiris Tziporin, you're relying on your own sense of being able to feel it, being able to that your finger didn't jump at all when you ran your finger along it. So if you use an even more intense test, it's like an extra safety mechanism. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, how can you tell me this teretz from the Braisa, the Shir Pegimas Mizbeach, is bigger than is Chidei Shtachar Batziporin? But Kamash Shir Pegimas Mizbeach, we have a brisa that says how big is the shear of Pegimas Mizbeach? It's going to be problematic. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Tefach, that it's a shear Tefach way bigger than Shetach Rabat Ziporen. Obviously, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer Lo Kasha Habesida Haba Avna. We're talking about two different halachos. There are the avanim that they would use to build the Mizbeach, meaning they made a frame and they filled it with avanim, and each of those avanim had to be perfectly smooth. The Gemara Masechet Zevachim describes how they build the Mizbeach, that they brought a malbim, they brought like a box, and that was 32 by 32 amos and one amma high, and they brought all sorts of perfectly smooth stones, large ones, small ones, and then they plastered it all together. They filled that box and then they plastered it all together to look like one unit of the Mizbeach. So when you're talking about the stones themselves, they can't even have a pegima of Shetach Korbat Tziporin. But when you talk about the full Mizbeach, once they put it all together and they plastered it and they made it look like one big box, so then only a pegima the size of a tefach would be problematic on the Mizbeach. Now there is a discussion, and what about on tefillin? Tefillin, the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simulam Beis that tefillin shal rosh and tefillin shal yad, halacha moshe misinai, they need to be meruvaos, they need to be perfectly square. So the Bir Halacha writes that it's pashut, that a pegima ketana that would happen in the bottom of the tefillin of Chagiras Tziporin, and maybe even a little larger than Chagiras Tziporin, does not ruin the ribua of the tefillin. And even if you can say that at the time of the making of the tefillin, the sofer has to be careful, even a chisaron of a mashuhu in any part of the bottom of the tefillin, but if it gets nicked a little bit, the shame ribua doesn't go away. That by tefillin you can have a little bit of a nick and it's still going to be a ribua, it's still going to be considered kosher per tefillin. And the raya that the Bir Halacha says is from our Gemara. The Gemara says haba avna haba sida, that the avanim, where it says avanim shlemos, so that's where we're going to pasul chagiris tziporen. But the sida of the mizbeach, it doesn't say anywhere that it's got to be shlemos, but by the mizbeach there is a din of ribua, that ribua is ma'akev by the mizbeach, by the full unit of the mizbeach. So by tefillin it's not a din in shalem, it's a din in ribua. So you see, you have much more leeway when the halacha in question is halacha of ribua, as opposed to if the halacha were halacha of shalem. If the halacha were shalem, then you get into the discussion of chagiras tziporin. And not only that, says the Bir Halacha, even if there's a pekima katana on one of the corners of the tefillin, it's not going to pasul, because otherwise the Gemara could have said hava habasida kan be, you know, bekarno kan, you know, on any other part of the mizbeach. Elamai, even when it comes to one of the corners, it would have the same din of pekima as the rest of the Mizbeach. So the same is true by Ribu of Tefillin. Whatever's an acceptable nick in the rest of the Tefillin would be an acceptable nick on the corner of the Tefillin. So one might argue, well, wait a second, that, there's a huge difference. The Mizbeach is gigantic. So small Pagim is not going to be Mevatel, the Ribua, as opposed to Tefillin, which are much smaller. So the Bir Halacha says, I understand that. I still think I'm right, because otherwise, when we go through the we said there are three dinim of Pagima, and the Gemara asks, how come you didn't count Pagima Sakin? Oh, because that's Chulin. We should have asked, how come you didn't count Pagima's Tefillin? And we would have said, okay, that's Chulin too. How come the Gemara doesn't even entertain the possibility, doesn't even bring up Pagima's Tefillin? Elamai, there is no din of Pagima's Tefillin. There's the din of Ribua and Tefillin, and Ribua is different than the din of Pagima. So what is the shear? Meaning it's not a tefach, that's for sure. The whole tefillin is less than a tefach. By the mizbech, the shear is a tefach. The mizbech is 32 amos by 32 amos. Tefillin is, you know, a couple of inches by a couple of inches. So what is the shear? So that's a big mystery. No one knows exactly. Rav Vosner suggests that it's 1 millimeter. That up until 1 millimeter is okay. Where he gets it exactly, unclear. But somebody, you have to come up with some shear of what would be a problem. Okay, now says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hay Tapcha, Delo Sorsa Kira Kamichacham. If you have a butcher that did not show his knife to the Chacham to check for Pagimos, to check for begimos on the knife. Now, when we say tabcha, the Ritva points out that the whole din is only on the tabach that shechts bekvius. But a person who shechts for himself, he doesn't have to show the chacham knife. Meaning, we don't say hay gavra delosar sakina kame chacham. A guy happened to be shechting and he didn't show his. No, it's got to be that the problem with not showing your knife to a chacham is if you are the local sheichet. The local sheichet has to show his knife to a chacham. But if you just happen to be a guy who does at home every now and then, you don't have to show it to a chacham. The Meiri quotes Ktsas Kadmonenu, who say that the whole din is only by someone who's shechting for other people to sell the meat. You do find, just like we have in contemporary kashrus, that you're allowed to eat at anybody's house who seems like a basically from person, and they don't need a hashkacha because they dechanam bisurin. But as soon as someone makes a business out of it, as soon as someone starts selling it, so now all of a sudden we require hashkacha because we're a little more nervous about people maybe cutting corners when they make a business. So over here as well, when it comes to the Meiri says, when it comes to shochet who gets paid for his job and is going to sell the meat, he's a butcher. So that's where you're going to need to show the knife to a chacham. Otherwise, a person doing it just on his own, you're not going to need to show the knife to a chacham. However, the Rush writes that the reason that we don't show the knife to a chacham bismanenu, when you do your own personal shchita, is because bismanam the butchers were the ones that did the shchita themselves, and therefore they always had to show the knives to a chacham. So the Rush says nowadays even the guys who are appointed, and perhaps specifically the guys who are appointed to be the shochtim, don't have to show the knife to a chacham because they're not the butchers, they're the shochtim, and the people that we appoint as shochtim are yireyim and shleimim and very trustworthy, and therefore the chacham were mochel their kavod to these people, because these people know more than the chachamim about how to check a knife and about what's a treifa and about what's a nevela. This is what they do, and these are people that we've put our trust in. However, he says he doesn't like it because it requires a lot of yishuv das and yirashamayim to do b'dika sakin. So the Rush sounds like anyone who shechts, even bizmanenu, and even privately, would have to show a knife to a chacham. Okay, so that's so you had this tabach, you had this guy who did not show his knife to a chacham to make sure that there were no pegimos. So mishamtina lei. So if you have such a guy who does that, so you put him in a form of cherim. You put him in a shamta. V'rava amar ma'abrinan lei. And Rava says you fire him. He's not allowed to be a shochet. You know, he's not allowed. No one is allowed to buy meat from him anymore. Umachrazin rabisrei de trefehi. And then we announce. We take out advertisements that everyone should know that his meat meat is trefa meat, velo pligi. And it's actually not a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rava as far as what the penalty is. Is it a shamta, or is it that he loses his job and his business? Because kan b'shenimtzi sakino yafa, when Rav Huna says that it's good enough to put him in a shamta, that's when his knife is found to not have any pigimos, he just didn't show it to anyone, but because he was mezalzel in the cover of the chachamim by not showing his knife to a chacham, we still put him in a nidoy, because it's done for the cover of the chacham to show the knife to the chacham. And the Gemara in Bracha says we're menada al kavod harav, so this is a nidoy that we do for the sake of kavod harav. And kan b'shalom nimtzi sakino yafa, when Rava says that we tell everybody you're not letting from shechita and everything's straight, and that's where we then checked his knife that he didn't show to anybody and it had pigimos. So then we say okay, he can't be a shochet anymore. So Ravina Amar the penalty is even greater. If we ruin all of his meat, we take like animal manure and throw it all over his meat so that he can't even sell it to a guy, meaning the penalty is such that he loses the ability to do business even in the non-kosher market. We're not going to let him do business. There was a particular shochet who didn't show his knife to the rabbi of the city, who was Rava Bar Chinna. So Rava Bar Chinna thought that according to Rava, you have to fire him, even if there was no problem with his knife, meaning he was unaware in the previous discussion of the answer that we gave, that it depends. So he thought, if he didn't show me his knife, you need to fire him. So Shamte Ve'abre, he put him in Chayrim and he fired him. And he said he's not allowed to work as a Shochet anymore. That's all the guy knew how to do. And he announced that the busser is trefa, so no one's allowed to buy from this guy. See, Kalu Marzutra Ravashi Lugabei. Marzutra and Ravashi went to Rava Bar Chinna. So Amar Luhu, Rava Bar Chinna said to Marzutra and Ravashi, he was the rabbi of the city who was insulted. He was the one that fired the guy. And he said to Marzutra and Ravashi, listen, I need you to do me a favor. La'ainu Rabba Bimilte. You have to look into this story over here to see if there's any way we can reinstate him as a shochet. To tell the Beitafli, because there are children that rely on him. He has a young family, and now he has no ability to make a parnasa. So it's a rachmanus. So it's one thing to put him in a shamta, but I took away his whole parnasa. I feel terribly about taking away his parnasa. The problem is, apparently, that's the halacha. That's what you got to do. So see if you can come up with a kula where I won't have to take away his parnasa. So you see that the concern is not for treifas, because you don't worry about Nebuchadnezzar, he has a young family, if he's selling treifas to the whole market. The concern is kavod harav. So he's saying, apparently, I have to fire him because of kavod harav, but I'm really uncomfortable doing that. There are young children that need to eat. So, batka ravashi the sakine. Ravashi checked the guy's knives and says, "Yafa, there were no pegimos on the knives." So Vakshrei. So he said, "Okay, the guy can go back to his job," because Ravashi holds that, like we said, the answer we gave before, that if the sakin is nimtzis yafa, so then you don't have to fire the guy. It's only if the sakin is nimtzis pogum that you need to fire the guy. So Amalei Marzutra said to Ravashi, "V'lelechosh mar l'saba, aren't you worried about the cover of Rav Bar Chinna? He's the rabbi of the city, and you don't want to ask him if he's maskim to undo that which he had done." Fired the guy. So later, Ravashi said to Marzutra, "Shlichusik avdin." What do you mean? We're doing exactly what he requested of us. He's the one that told us that we're supposed to do this, that we should find some sort of heter. So I don't need to go ask him for a special rishus to implement the very heter that he told me to find. So there's no problem whatsoever. Amar Rabba Bar Huna, Shein Tulusha. New topic. If you have a tooth that is removed from the jaw of a person or an animal, and is very sharp, v'tziporin tulusha, or a fingernail that is removed, mutar lishchop alechadchila. You can use that for shechita. You don't need to use a knife. As long as it's a very sharp implement that's smooth, you're allowed to use it. Ay, frankly, marava, nantanan, chutz mimagal kotzer v'amagera, v'hashinayim v'tziporin, v'reishen chonkin. When we went through different things that you're not allowed to use for shechita, shinayim and tziporin were two of the items on the list, because it will choke the animal as opposed to slice the the animal's simanim. So it says Gemara Shena Shein Lo Kasha Habachada Betarti. It said Shinayim plural. You're not allowed to use, because if you're using, let's say you have a jaw of an animal that has teeth on it, and you start slicing with it, so it's one tooth, the other, it's going to be a bumpy ride. So that's going to be a pasul l'shchita. It's not going to be a clean slice. If you have one sharp tooth, so that could produce a clean slice. Tziporin at tziporin lo kasha, and the stira, as far as tziporin is concerned, is also not a stira. Habetlusha habemuchuberes. That which Rabbi Ravuna allowed using a tziporin, he specifically said if it's a tziporin tlusha, if it's not attached. Whereas when the Mishnah asers shchita with the tziporin, that's a tziporin. And that's mechuberes. The Ramban wonders, why don't we just say Beit Tziporin also, that there's a chilik between one and two. So he says, because then it would be the same din as Shinayim, and then it wouldn't be any chiddush in Tziporin any more than Shinayim. One of the more pashut pshat, the Ramban says, is that when the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to shecht with Shinayim and Tziporin, it said Shinayim and Tziporin. It didn't say Shinayim and Tziporinayim. So apparently the chilik between on the fingernail is not one or two, because even in the singular it's not okay. So apparently it must be whether it's tzlusha or mechuberes. That must be the defining line as far as the tziporin is concerned. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashochit b'magal katzir. If a person shechts with a sickle that they would use to harvest grain, and it had a bunch of pekimos that were all facing in one direction, so if you slice in the proper direction it won't get caught, it will just go smoothly. If you slice in the other direction, it will be bump, 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 you know, it will rip the whole animal's neck to pieces instead of slicing. So, b'derech halichasa, let's say you do it in the correct direction, where you're doing it in a way where it's going to be a clean slice. Beshame pelsim, Beshame says that a pasul shchit of the animal is an avela. Ubeisil makshir, and beisil says not, the shchit is kosher. V'mechlik u'shineha harei kesakin. And if you sharpen out the teeth of the knife, of the sickle, then it's like a regular knife, and you're allowed to shecht with it, even lechalchila. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Af k'shech shiru beisila, lo k'shiru el tarim yidei nevela, aval ba'achila asura. Even when beisila allowed it, beisila only said that it's not a nevela, but they would never tell you that you're allowed to eat from such a shechita, because even if you only did it in one direction, then the basar doesn't get torn by the pegimos, but it's still a gezeira that you might do it incorrectly. I mean, you're using a knife, that's a very dangerous thing to use, where if you go even slightly in the wrong direction, you're going to definitely turn the animal into a nevela. So we don't, even if you did it correctly, we're going to make a gzeira, don't eat this. But tumas nevela, that will be makel if you did it properly. Amar Ravashi dekanami, diktani b'shamei posen b'sil makshirin, v'loktani b'shamei osun b'sil matirin. Meaning if it was about what's mutter ba'achila and what's not mutter ba'achila, the lashon should have been asur or mutter. That's not the lashon. The lashon was pasul or kasher. Was the shechita pasul? Was the shechita kasher? It wasn't about is it asur or mutter. Says Gemara Utaimeich. Well, wait a second. If you're going to be medayik from the lashon that the lashon was pasul or kasher as opposed to asur or mutter, you know what? Listeni beishamay mitam beisil mitarin. If it was really about tumas nevela, then it should have been tamei tahar. That should have been the more precise lashon. Ella pasul makshirin osur matirin chadamilsi. It must be that pasul and kosher is the same thing as asur and mutter, and it really is about whether the meat is kosher. It's not really about tumas nevela. It's not only about tumas nevela. The machlokas is about whether you're allowed to eat from this meat. And according to Beis Hillel, the shechita is kosher, and therefore not only is it not a nevela, but you're actually allowed to eat from the meat of the animal as well. So the Rashi writes, even though the Gemara rejects Rav Ashi's raya, Rabbi Yochanan's din is still true, that Beis Hillel would not be matir ba'achila. Because Rabbi Yochanan must have had such a tradition that that's the way to understand Beis Hillel, that it's not mutter ba'achila. However, the Ra'ah in Bet Kabbai says, what do you mean? The maskana of the Gemara is that Beis Hillel says it is mutter ba'achila, and therefore we paskin that it is mutter ba'achila. Meaning it's not just a rejection of the Raya, it's an understanding of what Beis Hillel actually paskined. So good, that's the end of that sugya. So now we start getting into some of the psule shchita. The Mishnah on the bottom of Yilches Amarav. Hashochit mitoch ha-taba'as v'shir ba-melo achut al-pnei kula. The halacha is that there's a psul in shechita called agrama, where when you slice the siman of the animal When you in middle of the shechita, if you go outside of the makom hashechita, meaning there's only so much space on the siman of the animal that you're allowed to cut. Once you go beyond that space, that's not called the shechita anymore. So let's say you slice at an angle where you go outside of the makom hashechita. So let's say you shecht inside the taba'os and you leave a melochut al pnei kula. The taba'as is still on both sides. There's still some piece of taba'as left. So you know you're still within range, shechita sakshera. Then the shechita is going to be kosher. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, melochut al pnei ruba. You don't even need a melochut al pnei kula, just around rove of the circumference of the siman that you're cutting through, you need a melochut that remains on both sides of the knife. But if at the very end you go outside and there's not a melochut anymore, that's fine, because you already had a kosher shechita al pnei ruba. So that's the machlokas. Do you need a melochut al pnei kulo, or only a melochut al pnei rubo? Rav and Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Rav and Shmuel both said, halacha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that we are makil like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that even if you went outside of the makom hashechita, and once you were past rubo, so then the shechita is going to be kosher. V'af Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda lo amar el b'tabas ha-gedola. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda only says the shechita is kosher by the taba'as ha-gedola, the uppermost taba'as, hol makefes es kol ha-kana, because the uppermost taba'as goes around the entire kana. It surrounds the entire kana. Aval b'shar taba'os, but the other taba'os shoehorn the kana, but they don't go around the kana entirely. They don't totally surround it. So lo, then the shechita is not going to be kosher, because it's not considered to be a shechita on the kana, and therefore you have to shecht in between the taba'os, because that's where you're hitting the kana itself. Ubishar taba'os lo, so says Mar, wait, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda doesn't allow shechita on the other taba'os, vahatanya, but doesn't the Brisa explain that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer hashochit bishar taba'os, that when you shecht in the other taba'os of the kana, afal pi she'ein makifos is kala kana, even though they don't fully surround the entire kana, they only shoehorn the kana, holu makifos is rov hakana, shechita suk she'ra. Since they do cover most of the kana, the shechita is kasher. So don't you see that Rabbi Yosef Rebido allows a shechita on the other taba'os because of rubo kikulo? Not like what Rav and Shmuel said, that it's only the taba'as elyona where it surrounds the kana entirely. And then the Braisa goes on to say, umugremes psula. If you do a hagrama, that after you shecht rov of the simon in the betocha taba'as, and then you veer outside of the taba'as, it's going to be possible. That's like the sheet of the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, right? The Rabbanan in our Mishnah said you need to leave a melochut al pnei kula, that throughout the entire slice you need to leave a melochut of the taba'as. That's not what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that as long as you get rove within the taba'as, then you can veer at the end. Hey, Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus al mugremes shik sheira. Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus was made that mugremes is going to be kosher, meaning according to him the shechita is kosher even beyond the taba'as ha-gadola. There's a space right above that called the shipoy kova, and he holds that's still within range of where you're allowed to shecht, and therefore mugremes in that regard is going to be kosher. If you go into the shipoy kova, that's okay, you're still within the range. Some Rav Yosef comments, Rav Yosef Rav Yudah Tarti Kamer. So it turns out Rav Yosef Rav Yudah told us two separate dinim. Number one, he told us that if you shecht rov hakana, it's kosher, even though at the end you veered a little bit and you went outside, because rubo kikulo. And then he said that the other taba'os are also considered like the kana, because they're makif, rov hakana, and rubo kikulo. So two halachos. One is about the other taba'os, that the other taba'os are still the makom shechita, and that's fine, you can shecht through the other taba'os. And one is about the uppermost taba'os, where you just need to get rov of the way through, and then you can veer. So Rav and Shmuel, Savri kafse b'chada, pligei le'b'chada. But Rav and Shmuel only agreed with him about one of those things. They hold that if you shecht in the taba'as gedola, and after you got rover the way through, then you do a hagrama, that's fine. But they do not hold that you're allowed to shecht in the other taba'os. So says Gemara, v'alo amar ka'amri, what do you mean Rav and Shmuel disagree with him? It sounds like they're qualifying what he said. They said, lo amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda ela. Sounds like they're redefining what he said, not that they're disagreeing with him. So says Gemara, no, hachik ka'amri, halacha kamoso b'taba'as ha'gedola, v'in halacha kamoso b'shar taba'os. We paskin like him. What they really meant to say is, we only paskin like him by the Taba'os HaGadola. We don't paskin like him by the other Taba'os. He's wrong about the other Taba'os. They disagree with him about him being machshir the other Taba'os. So Rav and Shmuel would hold by the other Taba'os is going to be possible. So now the Gemara tells a Maisa. He saw like Rabbi Zeru. When Rabbi Zeru went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Achol Mugremis to Rav and Shmuel. He ate from a behemoth that was shechted with in a way that Rav and Shmuel would have had a problem with. Meaning, it was shechted in the other Taba'os, which Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said is fine, but Rav and Shmuel said, no, we don't like that. That's not okay. So Amrilei, the people in Eretz Yisrael, saw him eating from such a shechita. They said, Lav Masri to Rav and Shmuel, don't you come from the place of Rav and Shmuel? So isn't your minug to be machmir about such things? So Amrilehu, Mana Mara, who's the one that said this din in the name of Rav and Shmuel? Yosef Bar Chiya. It was Rav Yosef who said this din in the name of Rav and Shmuel, that Rav and Shmuel disagree with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Yosef Bar Chiya Mekuli Al Megamir. Yosef Bar Chiya was not so careful in his traditions that he got from Rav and Shmuel. He would accept Eidos from anybody as far as what Rav and Shmuel said. I don't believe it. I believe Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, and that Rav and Shmuel never said otherwise, and therefore Shar Taba'os is perfectly fine. Shamar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef heard what Rabbi Zeru was going around saying about him, so Ikbid, he wasn't happy. So Amar Anam Mikuli Al Megamirna. You think I heard this from just Stam, you know, from the guy that sat in the last row that was half asleep during the shir and, you know, didn't pick up anything from it? Anam Rav Yehuda Gamirna. I heard it from Rav Yehuda, who's so metaktik and everything. When Rabbi Yehuda would say something over, if there was a suffix about who exactly said what, he would tell you that also. Sometimes he would tell you, you know, this I'm not certain. It may have come from Rav's Beis Medrash, it may have come from Shmuel's Beis Medrash. Shlosha Matirnes HaBechor B'makam Shein Mumcha. Whatever the halacha was, it was halacha by Bechoros, that when you have a mumcha to be Bodek Bechor, you need to... But the point is, the way he said it was so precise, he was so careful. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira, and aside from that, even if Rabbi Zeira wants to say that Rav and Shmuel don't know what they're talking about, or that we don't have this tradition from Rav and Shmuel, bottom line is, they were no egisser in his place. So doesn't he hold that when you go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep all the chumras of Bavel also? That's the Mishnah Pesachim, Makom Shenagu, that you have to keep the chumras of the place that you came from as well. So how come Rabbi Zeira is eating from such a shechita? So Rabbi, hani mili mi Bavel Bavel Meretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, inami Meretz Yisrael Bavel. You're right that you got to keep the chumras of the place you come from if you move from place to place within Bavel, from place to place within Eretz Yisrael, or you go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Aval, mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, kivin danan kefinan luhu avdin kavasayu. But when you upgrade from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, since we are totally kafuf to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, you now become an Eretz Yisrael dekiyid. And now you follow the menagim of Eretz Yisrael. You do not need to maintain the old Bavel traditions when you go to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Ashi amar afilu tema mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, even if you're going to say when you make aliyah that you still keep the Bavel traditions, that's only if you didn't make aliyah. If you plan on going back to Bavel, you're just going there for a bit. Rabbi Zeira ain't died to Lachzer Hava. Rabbi Zeira was planning on staying in Eretz Yisrael, so he doesn't need to keep the Bavel traditions. He keeps the Eretz Yisrael traditions because he's now a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Abayi l'Rav Yosef, v'Rabbanan da'asu mi'machuza. Abayi said to Rav Yosef, what about the Rabbanan that came from Machuza, which is a place in Bavel? Amri, they said, Amrei Abizir m'shmei d'Rav Nachman mugremes k'sheira, that mugremes is kosher, that we in Bavel are noig yisr. How come they're not noig like Rav and Shmuel? So Amalei, naru naru pashte. So Rav Yosef said to Abayi, every river goes in different directions, so every place follows its own minhag. So there are some places that did like Rav and Shmuel, there are other places that did not do like Rav and Shmuel, like in Machoza. So you can't ask kashas in every makom in Bavel that they have to be loyal to exactly what Rav and Shmuel did. Not every place does exactly like Rav and Shmuel did. Okay, so we had said previously that Rabbi Chanan ben Antigone said that a mugremes is kshera, because according to him, when we say Halacha l'Moshe Misina, that a grama is pasul, that's only when it's past the kova, not just when it's past the Taba'as HaGadola, meaning beyond the Taba'as HaGadola, there's something called the kova, and he holds that kova still called the Makom HaShechita. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish Achshir B'chuda de Kova, he's Machshir Behema the Shechted, even on the very top of that kova, of that part of the Behema, of that part of the kova. kana. Kari alei Rabbi Yochanan gisa gisa. So Rabbi Yochanan said gisa gisa. That whoa, that's whoa, you went too far. That's too much to be machshir even when the slice was all the way up there. Amar of Papi Mishmei Derava paga b'chiti treifa. If you hit the chiti, which is a certain part of the kova, it looks like two little seeds that are two little beans that are, look like chitim that are in the kana, in the kova on the end of the kana. Then it's a treifa. That's too much. It's too far. If you slice through that, the animal is a treifa. So ibaylu paga v'naga ben d'chsiva yivkabo v'yamos. So duma paga v'lo naga d'chsiva yivkabo v'lachei elukim. So the word paga can mean different things. Sometimes paga means that you nick it, that you hit it, that you slice it. Sometimes it just means you ran into it, you met it, right? And we have, find in Tanakh it means both different things. So what did he mean when he said paga in this context? So itmar amra papa mishmei drava shir b'chiti. If you cut the makom achiti and you cut the chitim themselves and you split them into two, but you leave a little bit at the edge that are on the edge of the kana, ksheira, it's going to be kosher. Amra v'amim mar yunuka v'kimna kamed rabchir breid ravavya v'armeli shir b'chiti ksheira. That if you leave a little bit b'chiti, it's going to be kosher. Amli ravina l'ravashi, amli ravshaman misuchra ikla marzutra la'asrin v'dara shir b'chiti ksheira. Same halacha. Mar ravashi amar paga b'chiti ksheira. If you're pogea in the chiti, but you don't cut them at all, it's kosher. But shir b'chiti treifa. But if you leave a little bit left over, then it's going to be treifa. V'hilchsa mishipu kova l'mata ksheira, v'haynu de shir b'chiti. And the halacha is that from the shipu kova and below is still the makom hashchita, and that means that's like the opinion that shir b'chiti is ksheira, because the makom hachiti is the makom of the shipu kova ulamata. So that's going to be kosher. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Rav Nachman. Everyone have a great day.